Let's open our Bibles, James chapter 1. James, we've been looking at this this thing here, you know, quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And really that, you know, that applies to every one of us. You know, we need to think about these things. We need to learn how to listen. We need to speak a little less. I still think, you know, some of us don't quite understand that. That we need to speak a little less than we currently do. Because you're not going to hear what the other person has to say if you're speaking all the time. And if you're speaking all the time, you're not going to hear what God has to say either. We need to learn how to listen. And part of that is learning how to speak a little less. Not to never speak at all. It says slow to speak. And I think if we listened more and we spoke less, we probably would get angry less. Because we usually, our anger just blasts up, right? And comes right out of our emotions and whatever. But this anger, you know, we talked about that last time, you know. God is the only one that has truly righteous anger. But I forgot to mention this last time. It's said of God that he is what? Slow to anger. Isn't that interesting? As an example from him, that he's slow to anger. But for us as humans, it doesn't bring about the righteousness of God. It doesn't make things right when you get all angry. In fact, usually what happens, it blows things up. Usually. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, Paul said, brawling and slander. Along with every form of malice, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. And then he said later, or earlier in that chapter 4 of Ephesians, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Don't give the devil a foothold. When we get all completely out of control angry, the devil's, you know, he's going to take advantage of that. We don't want to give him that opportunity, that foothold, that place in our lives. And so today, we're going to continue on, but he kind of, as you'll notice in verse 21, let's read verse 21. He starts off by saying, therefore. So therefore always refers back to something else, right? You say, well, what's... Wherefore is the therefore? Is the therefore there? Something like that, you know. I've heard that before. But he goes back to the things that he's just said about being quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry or slow to anger. So he says, therefore, because that's what God wants, he says, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Boy, there's a lot there. We're going to just look at some of it, but there's an awful lot there. But really, there's kind of like a two-stage. You know, he says, get rid of and humbly accept. So you put something out, and you take something in. You don't leave it empty. You cast something away, and you receive something. And that's kind of what we see in this particular verse, verse 21. So the first thing he says is to get rid of. And this is really kind of a forceful verb, to get rid of something. You know, if you're a hoarder, and I'm kind of a hoarder. I'm going to confess it to you. The scripture says, and James says it, you know, you confess your sins one to another, pray for one another that you be healed. So can you pray for me? But there's something about getting rid of stuff. It's hard to get rid of stuff, right? Some of you just like get rid of stuff, no problem, easy, easy. And then there's the rest of us. Get rid of it? No. It's like a battle. But he's saying here, you gotta get rid of these things that he's talking about here, the moral filth, and we'll talk about that in a second. But it means literally to put it off or put it aside or put it away. And interesting, it's a participle form as well, which means it's ing on the end, right? Getting rid of. It's an ongoing thing. That, you know, I just get rid of it all once and then I'm good forever. No, this is an ongoing thing. You and I need to be cleaning house. He says, get rid of all of it. And the moral filth, I think it kind of speaks for itself, really. It's interesting. He says, the moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. And the New King James translates that as the overflow of wickedness. The stuff that's just overflowing. The abundance of wickedness is literally. And so I was looking at this, I was thinking about this, and I'm thinking, well, where? From where? Where is this moral filth? Where is this overflow of wickedness? Where is this stuff? Is it the world he's talking about? No, he's talking about us. He's talking about in us. The world, yes, the world is full of evil. The world is full of moral filth. There's no question about that. We know that. But are you going to get rid of all that? Is that what you're called to do, to change all that? He's talking here about us. You know, as far as the world around us, we already know that, you know. I grieve, really, for our country. This, you know, the Christian nation that we really once were, because we're really not anymore. The compromise, you know, we have been completely compromised. There's just no doubt about it in our nation. And the media and the entertainment, the overuse of alcohol and drugs, the stuff that's going on in our country, you know, but we live in that country. We live in this place. But James is talking about us, and he's talking to us. The NLT, the New Living Translation, says of this, translates it like this: get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives. That's how they translate it, because that's the meaning here. Get rid of the stuff in my life. I can't get rid of the stuff in everybody else's life. And when I try to focus on everybody else, you know, that's like what Jesus talked about. You know, before you try to get something, you know, try to get the splinter, right, out of the other guy. Get the log out of your own. You know, you got to take care of us first. You know, clean house on our own. So he's talking here about taking some drastic action, and James is kind of like that. He's a hard-hitting kind of guy, and he says that. So you and I, you know, what do we have to do to we'll talk about how in a minute, but the command really is very clear, that you and I need to do what needs to be done for our own lives. And sometimes that takes drastic action. Sometimes, you know, we have to do something that, you know, I remember a minister in a big ministry, and I can't recall the name of it, but he used to say this. He said, you know what, others may, but I cannot. There's sometimes we need to say, you know what, others can do that, but I cannot, because I've made a commitment before the Lord to do the right thing, rather than just go along with the tide, with the way everyone's going. A friend of mine said one time, you know, we have the narrow path and we have the wide path. And the wide path is so wide because so many people travel on it. But the narrow path, as Jesus says, take the narrow path. That's the path he wants you and I to take. Again, we are in the midst of this evil, in the filth and the moral decay that's all around us, but we're called to be different. So many scriptures about it. I'm not even going to read them all. I don't have time to read them all, but I've listed some of them. Ezekiel talks about it in the Old Testament. He says, the Lord says this: repent, turn away from all your offenses, then sin will not be your downfall. Rid yourselves of all the offenses you have committed and get a new heart and a new spirit. Get a new heart and a new spirit. But Paul, in the New Testament now, to believers, Paul speaking to believers, he makes it very clear. Romans 13, he says this: the night is nearly over, the day is almost here, so let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. So there's putting off and putting on. It's like, you know, you've got some dirty clothes. You could take them off and put on some clean clothes. He says, let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, but not in dissension and jealousy, but rather clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. There's so many other verses that talk about this, about doing what needs to be done. Colossians chapter 3 says, put to death, like James is saying, get rid of, put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature. This is stuff that you and I need to do. And again, you can read these other verses as well. We sang about it today, Hebrews chapter 12, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and run, let us run with perseverance the race that's set before us. You see, these things keep us back from doing what God wants us to do. So God says, first of all, I want to say a couple things. First of all, don't think that you need to make yourself perfect before you can go before the Lord, because that's not the way it works. We go before the Lord to get right, you see. But how do we do this? If he's telling us to get rid of these things, get rid of the moral filth in our own lives and even within ourselves, we talk about how, you know, the things that we say, they come from within us. And if there's, you know, ugliness, and there is, it comes out in the things we say, the ugliness, the meanness, the foul words, different things that come out of us. So how do we do that? He gives us the answer really here in verse 21. I believe he's telling us that it's through prayer and the Word. How do we get rid of these things? Through prayer and the Word of God. Be filled with something good. He says here, humbly accept the Word planted in you, which can save you. You see, there's this humility that's got to come. Talked about it already. You know, we humble ourselves before the Lord and he lifts us up. As we realize and we just, this idea of repentance that Ezekiel was talking about, it, the word repent is not a bad word, though people have made it that way. It's a good word. It means to turn and face a different direction. So we're turning our way, and to repent means to turn to God's way, turn towards him, you see. So he says to humbly accept the word. So as we pray and we say, God, there's just, you know, there's stuff in me. There's ugliness in me. Change me. Do what needs to be done within me. But don't just stop at prayer. You really, there's something about the Word of God. And you know, we here in this church, Calvary Chapel, big, strong foundation of our whole meaning is to get into the Word of God, to get into the Scriptures and what we call the Bible. He says here to humbly accept it, and this particular word is in the imperative mood, that means that you must take a hold. You must accept the Word. You see, the Word gets planted in us, but we need to accept it. You're hearing it now, but you can just, you know, and James talks about it, and we'll see it two or three times in the book of James. He says, you know, you can hear these things, and then you just walk away. You look in the mirror, he says, and you walk away, and you forget everything that you saw in that mirror. Sometimes you want to forget. I get that. But we hear these things, but the Word is planted in us, but we need to humbly accept them. This attitude of humility. God, what is it you want to do in my life? And as we study the Word, as we let these Scriptures get into us, like that Psalm 73 says, you'll take me by the right hand, you'll guide me with your counsel, And afterward, you take me into glory. How, you know, these are the scriptures that we hold on to that make a difference in our lives. I don't know where I'd be without God's word. Amen. You're on your own. Good luck. You see, but with the scripture that to help us, he says in Hebrews chapter 12, the word of God. That's this scripture that we have. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. This word, this scripture gets in, and it's so sharp, it knows exactly where to cut. It knows exactly what to get to. It's living. It's active. It's alive. This book isn't some dead book that, you know, should be on the shelf, you know, gathering dust. It's the living word of God, and it gets inside of us, and it discerns our thoughts and our intents. It gets right in the middle and separates all the stuff that's in there. How are we going to get rid of this stuff? Well, the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Bible, the scripture, he gets in there and starts to work in us. He changes us. He molds us. He leads us. He counsels us. I'm saying this from experience. Like I said, I don't know where I'd be without God's word. I don't know. This is a daily thing to just to deal with the world, just to deal with our situations, and just to deal with ourselves, you see. Larry Richards, the Bible teacher, he says about this, that it's able to save our souls. He adds, from ourselves. It's able to save us from ourselves. The scripture can get in there and help us, that can save us, that can again, mold us, like the potter's molding the clay. Jesus said in John chapter 6, he says, it's the Spirit who gives life, and the flesh profits nothing. He said, the words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. These words, the words of Jesus, the word of God, they are spirit and they are life. They will give us life. They will renew us, revive us, give us something we didn't have before. I think you get the idea what I'm getting at here. This is a plea. This is an encouragement for you to be spending time in God's word. Because how else are you gonna make it? You're gonna rely on yourself? Jesus said some pretty radical things. I get that. In fact, in that chapter 6 of John, you know, he said some stuff, and the people said, you know, well, we can't do that. And it says they went away, they left following him. And Jesus said, well, what about you? And what was Peter's answer? He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. It's your word. You have the words of eternal life. There's nowhere else that we can go. Nowhere else that you can go to find the answers. You know, something is going on in our world. I read a couple of articles. I just want to share those with you if I can find them here. I found these on CBN News. Two came out actually the same day, and it was kind of interesting, just a few days ago. The first one says this. The title was, Bible Sales Are Skyrocketing. What's going on? Bible sales are skyrocketing. He goes on to say, God's truth is reaching new eyes, with Bibles reportedly flying off shelves this year. He says, in fact, Bible sales are up 22% this year through the end of October, just through October. It's up 22%. We say, well, that's not a huge number. But he said, U.S. book sales were up less than 1%. So when you look at that, you go like, what is going on here? Something is going on. He says, so why the increase, you ask? He says, it seems chaos and uncertainty in the world, among other factors, could be turning people back to the Lord. People are experiencing anxiety themselves, or they're worried for their children and their grandchildren. One bookstore manager said that she saw people were on a quest for hope. That's radical. Now, you and I already know this. We talk about it all the time. We read the scripture. We teach it. We talk about it so often. We already know this. But again, we can know these things. And next week, Justin's going to talk about we can know these things, but we have to do them. Don't just listen, but also put them into action. The second article I found, this is interesting too. Bible app engagement spikes. And the most read verse of 2024 says a lot about our world. Bible app, that's, you know, perhaps some of you will, the Blue Letter Bible is a Bible app, and there are many other ones. The ones that he's particularly talking about here is called YouVersion. YouVersion. I haven't seen it. I haven't looked at it. But this popular Bible app, YouVersion, says it has seen more people engaged with the Bible this year than ever before, drawing closer to God through His Word and through prayer features on the app. Developers of the Bible app point out the most popular verse from 2024 reveals that people have been seeking God's comfort in tumultuous times. Can any of you guess what that verse is? No? All those are excellent, good.
John 3:16?
No.
Revelation?
No.
Philippians?
4:13? No. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. There you go. Who said it? Valley. You said 7, but you got to remember 6 too, because it's really the two verses. Can you quote 6 and 7 for us? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Those are the most, on that particular app, those two verses were the most sought out verses, and they found those verses. Why? Because the world is full of anxiety. Goes on to say later, seeking peace through God's word is not the only thing that has increased this year. YouVersion also saw increased interest in prayer around the world. So this is my point here. James is talking about prayer, this attitude, this calling out, this relationship and communication with God and His Word. See, kind of prayer is kind of us speaking to Him, but His Word, He's speaking to us. Prayer and peace were the things that they searched after in these Bible apps. Celebrities also talking about faith. Found this interesting too. Nearly half of Gen Z said the Bible has transformed their lives. That's interesting. So back to James. What is James telling us to do? To humbly accept the word that's planted in us that can save us. This powerful, powerful word. What about 2 Timothy? What does Paul say? All scripture is God-breathed. Some versions say inspired by God. The literal meaning of the word there is God-breathed. And is useful for teaching, for rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You see, this is what James is talking about. The scriptures is God-breathed. It's useful. That's one that's going to get that stuff and help us to get rid of that, the ugly stuff that's in us. God's Word, the Scripture. It's useful for all those things. I want to close. Let's finish with Mark chapter 4. Let's go back to the Gospel of Mark chapter 4. If you'll turn there with me. The parable of the sower. You all know about the parable of the sower, and we're only going to look at the second half where Jesus explains what it means. You know, he told them this parable. His disciples said, well, what in the world are you talking about? And so he went on to explain it. And so we're going to look at that, just the explanation, starting in verse 14. He says, the farmer sows the word. Again, keep in mind what James is talking about here. He says, humbly accept the word that's planted in you, that word that's sown in you, that can save you. The farmer sows the word, and some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. That's the first one. The enemy just comes and just steals it away. Verse 16, others, like seed sown on rocky places, they hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. They've got no roots. They've not put any roots down. Rocky soil. Verse 18, still others, like seed sown among thorns, they hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. That's number 3, among the thorns. And number 4, verse 20, and others, like seed sown on good soil, they hear the word, they accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. Maybe James was thinking about these words. Maybe Jesus had told him this parable when he was growing up. I don't know, but he says here, you know, those that accept the word, they humbly accept the word like James is talking about. This is where the fruit comes. This is where, you know, the blessings come, the crop comes from hearing that word and accepting it and letting God work inside of our hearts through His word. You know, it's obvious the 4 categories here about, you know, hearts, our hearts. What's the state of our heart? Are our hearts ready for the word? Is it, you know, humble before God and before what God wants to do in us? I think we can look at our lives and say, you know, maybe we're like the first one. The devil just come and took it all away. Or the second one, these rocky places. We hear it, we get excited, but you know, only lasts a short while. No roots. How about the third one, the worries of this life, the thinking about the world and money and all the stuff of this world. And the word is there, but it's not fruitful in our lives. Or the last one, we hear it, we accept it, and let God do what He wants to do in us. Let's pray together, shall we? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You that we have this Bible, these Scriptures. We thank You that You want to work in us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We think of being washed by the Word. It talks about in Ephesians chapter 5, the washing of water of the Word. Father, we first come and we humble ourselves. We say there is a lot of garbage inside of us. Stuff I'm not happy about, not pleased about. Lord, I pray You'd come in and do surgery, clean house, and because the house belongs to You. You've come in and taken residence inside my heart. But yet there's things there that just aren't pleasing, that just don't belong. I pray that you would, by your Holy Spirit, by your word, you would change me, cleanse me, and fill me more and more with you and your Spirit. I can't do it. It's not something that I can do, is to get my whole thing together. No, I need you to do that in me. But I want to cooperate, and I want to accept and humble myself before you, that you might have your way. May we be like that fourth heart, where your word gets in and it just does its work. And the fruit just multiplies. May that be us, Lord. May that be me. I pray you'd encourage each person that's here in this message, Lord, to simply let God's word be a part of your life every day. If you need help, ask for help. We'll help you. And Jesus, I know that you save. You came so that we could be saved. You came that we might have life. And the scriptures tell us about what you did and who you are. And how we get that life. It says that we simply accept and believe. We believe and receive. And we become children of God through it. And that is all it is. It's not getting ourselves perfect before Him, but it's simply receiving what He has done. Believing in Jesus as the Savior of the world, that He died on the cross for you. That He was buried, that He rose from the dead. Ask Him in today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing.